Friends, let us pray together. God of signs and wonders, we come to your word again and again, seeking understanding and the new life it offers. By the power of your Holy Spirit, illumine our hearts and minds so that we may trust this testimony and have life eternal. In the name of Jesus Christ, our teacher and Savior, we pray. Amen. Let us listen now for the word of God as it comes to us first from the book of Genesis in the 12th chapter, verses 1 through 4. 1 through 4a. Now the Lord said to Abram, "Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." So Abram went as the Lord had told him. And from the book of John, in the 3rd chapter, verses 1 through 17. Now there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a leader of the Jews. He came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do apart from the presence of God." Jesus answered him, "Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above." Nicodemus said to him, "How can anyone be born after having grown old? Can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit. What is born of the flesh is flesh, and what is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished that I have said to you, you must be born from above. The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus said to him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered him, "Are you a teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Very truly I tell you, we speak of what we know and testify to what we have seen, yet you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you about earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except the one who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Come now, Holy One, send forth your Spirit and bless us with your word. Help us to hear the things that we need to hear and then do the things we need to do for the sake of Jesus Christ, our risen Lord. Amen. The reformer Martin Luther claimed a long time ago that John 3:16, which we just heard here for God so loved the world. Martin Luther claimed that John 3:16 is the gospel in miniature. He felt that this verse summarized the good news, the gospel. It's probably the best known verse in the Bible, even for people who know nothing about Scripture or about Christ, they know John 3:16. You probably have it memorized. We find it everywhere. It's emblazoned on banners at televised sporting events. As the camera pans the playing field and you can see the stadium all around the field, more than likely you will find somewhere a banner or a poster, something that says John 3:16. We find it on tattoos, on t-shirts, on necklaces and keychains, all kinds of Christian kitsch. It's found on billboards, painted on the sides of old warehouses. I once saw a photo of a large billboard that read, State Line Store. I believe this was along the Georgia border. State Line Store, First Chance Lottery, Stop, Quick Cash, Play Here. And in the lower right-hand corner of the sign was John 3:16. Did you know that the In-N-Out burger chain of drive-through restaurants has John 3:16 in tiny red print on the inside rim of the bottom of their beverage cups? It's probably the most cited verse of the Bible, and it's almost always taken out of context. Is it really wise to expect one verse to carry the full weight of God's good news? The gospel can't be reduced to one verse or a soundbite or a 30-character tweet. Now, sure, there's a lot of good news in John 3:16 in this verse. But why do we stop there? Why do we stop at John 3:16? What if we released our focus on John 3:16 and zoomed out and zoomed back and looked at what's all around this verse? And we quickly see that John 3:17 might be just as important. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through Him. This is also a very important part of the gospel message, isn't it? For God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world. And if we zoom out some more and we see that John 3:16 and 17, that these verses are really connected to what Jesus says just prior about Moses and a serpent in John 3:14 and 15. These verses are also significant and often overlooked. And while we're at it, let's go back to the beginning of the chapter to see why Nicodemus shows up in the middle of the night, and why Jesus says to him, "Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above." Or as the old King James Version puts it, being born again. Both are correct. Nicodemus, a leader of the Pharisees, arrives at Jesus' home under the cover of night. He arrives in secret. He is our Nick at night. We know he's searching after God's kingdom. And it's implied in Jesus' words to him. He says, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above or born again." Unfortunately, he doesn't get it because Jesus uses a metaphor And Nick is being literal. His literal frame of reference prevents him from seeing God's kingdom, prevents him from seeing the purpose of the kingdom. So Jesus proceeds with an analogy. The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit, Jesus says. And what does Nicodemus say to all of this? How can these things be? How can these things be? And it's that response, that attitude in Nick and within all of us that snuffs out the Spirit, that squelches the Spirit, that eclipses and binds us from seeing the work of God's kingdom through Jesus Christ. How can these things be? Closes off the possibility of change and transformation and hinders us from standing in awe and amazement before the power and love of God, prevents us from seeing all the marvelous ways God is at work in the world right now for the world. But the truth is, we ought to be praying all the time for new eyes. Give us new eyes to see, O Lord. God's way doesn't come naturally, nor is God's way what we expect. We need the Spirit to teach us. That's what Jesus means by being born again, or more correctly, born from above, that is, with God's aid. And it's a birthing that doesn't happen just once. You're not born again just once, but again and again and again and again. Being born again or from above doesn't happen because we believe, but because the Spirit is already moving through us. And when the Spirit blows through us, we are born again and again and again. We are born from above again and again and again. And this is necessary because we are usually so close-minded and so stuck in our ways and so stubborn in our attitudes and our beliefs that we need to be blown into the kingdom. We need to be shocked into awareness sometimes. Sometimes we need startling images, maybe even obscure, bizarre metaphors, like the story when snakes were lifted up on a pole in the wilderness. Jesus pulls from an obscure story in Numbers 21 of a time when Israel was in the wilderness. They were being bitten by poisonous snakes. So God told Moses to put a bronze serpent up on the top of a pole, and every time someone was bit, they were to look at the snake and then live. And this is a direct inference to Jesus' own death. Lifted up on a cross for all to look and live. The cross that says something about what his death will mean for the salvation of the world. Really, these verses referring to the serpent in the wilderness, really the core of this whole chapter. And yet, isn't it amazing how we often just pass right over these verses? But we need bizarre metaphors and stories of snakes to wake us up from whatever might be lulling us to sleep. We need strange stories to help us apprehend what God is doing in the lifting up of his Son upon a cross. But what do snakes and a cross have in common? We often associate snakes with the devil or with evil, but in many cultures and religions, the snake is a symbol of transformation. We could say that when the gospel of God's love is lifted up among us, it draws out all of our venom and all of the poisons of the world. The glory of God's eternal love for you and me and for the world only touches the earth through a cross amid all the vipers and the venom of the world. Jesus wants Nicodemus to break free from his limited understanding and limiting frame of reference to look at the one who will be lifted up in order to draw us out and into the wider frame of God's redemptive purpose and love for the world. For the one who looks at him and sees in him the very love of God will live, truly live, will have eternal life, or it's really the other way around, life eternal. Eternal life here does not mean life after life or life after death, but a life that is informed by and shaped by the eternal, that is shaped by God here and now. Eternal life, or life touched by eternity, is always a new life. That's what this font represents. It's always new life. A born from above, again and again life. That's why we can't skip over the snake story, because to do so is to skip over the cross. And in fact, John's entire gospel is organized to focus our eyes upon the one who is lifted up. For the one lifted up will draw all people to himself. So that the good news of this text is that the focus should not be upon us, upon what we believe, of whether or not we have enough belief or not. We are included in this text, of course, because it involves our salvation. But it's not really about us, and that's why sometimes these readings of John 3:16 sort of miss the mark. Because if you focus only on John 3:16, then it's easy to think that it is all about us, about what we have to believe, about what we have to do, what we have to believe about Jesus in order to have eternal life. But maybe instead it's not about that at all. It's really all about the cross, of Jesus being lifted up for us and what God is doing for us through him, whether we believe it or not. For us, never against us, but for the sake of the world, he will be lifted up. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Can you imagine a world in the church where we had John 3:17 emblazoned everywhere? What a difference that would make. Not to condemn, but to be saved through him. And all of this is done for the world. That is, for everything that works against God in the world, and everything that fights against God in the world, and everything that hates God in the world. And there are many ways that we hate God. It's for the love of a world at odds with love itself, for the love of a world at odds with its creator, that Jesus goes to a cross to redeem a world and demonstrate to the world the wide reach of God's amazing love and grace. For as John wrote later in his gospel of Jesus, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. The light of his love continues to illumine a world at odds with itself and God. A light that no darkness can ever extinguish, extending light in the darkest places. His love is the light of the world, a love that grows in intensity and shines brightest in the places of human need and suffering. The gospel is not only in John 3:16. It's shining all through this text. And when the Spirit blows through us, a and blows us into the kingdom. We are given new eyes to see the love of God high and lifted up. And when we see that, we are brought to life again and again and again. Thanks be to God. Amen.